Nollywood. Welcome to the Nollywood Life Podcast with Kevin T. Solomon.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Nollywood Life Podcast with Kevin T. Solomon. I am your host, Kevin T. Solomon. This podcast, as we all know, is the podcast where we delve into the lives and struggles of filmmakers and content creators in Nigeria, particularly the ones that have not blown. And I have a very special guest today with me in the building. He is a very awkward person, just like myself. You know, this is the awkward podcast that everybody likes to listen to because it's awkward and it's real. Laughter Ephraim, what's up? He's a big man, oh. Don't let him deceive anybody, oh. He just like to be on a low key. He's a veteran editor.
Veteran.
Are you a veteran? Oh, you are a newbie.
I see upcoming.
So when will you blow after this podcast?
Maybe. We'll see.
It's all good. Anyway, so today we are going to be talking about one of the issues that a lot of us face in the industry, which is working with clients, especially those big brands or clients that just feel like they are big. What's that one thing they used to promise us the most whenever they have worked for us?
Exposure.
Like, I don't get how much exposure does one person even need.
I mean, it's good to have exposure. Exposure is very good if you want your business to progress. But still, exposure doesn't always beat money. Right. People need money to survive.
We need to beat
everything. You need money to survive. But then we have so many clients that I call it bullying anyway, because I feel like it's bullying. They bully upcoming filmmakers by promising us exposure. Just if we give them a price, they'll be like, oh, don't worry, it's exposure. I'm big. This if you do this thing for me now, you will meet new people, you will meet Foke Akindele and all those other people. And people that don't know their worth, they will obviously take that deal. But exposure is good, but money is also key.
Yeah, I think we've all been there where we're like, these people are not really paying us our value, but at least the exposure will blow small.
Yeah, everyone has been there before, but you should know when to stop doing that. You should know when to like just hit the hammer and then just be like, I'm not doing this again. I must collect cash. Right, you must give me cash. Right, if not, right. I'm not doing it again. Yeah. If the person goes, that's okay. Another customer, another client will come.
They're customers now. They're not customers.
I'm my customer.
Customer, client is the same thing. Yeah, it'd be like that sometimes, you know, working with big brands, or they don't particularly be big, but they seem to have this influence, and we believe that, yeah, if we do this for them, they will put our name out there. But let's be real, it's not like as if they even used to give us a shout out like that. So at the end of the day, we're still inside this rabbit hole of chasing exposure. See, man, nobody's doing any exposure or anything. Collect money. But then there's another thing where the value, I mean, you are good at something and they want you to do this because they know they are good at it, but they don't want to pay how much it would actually cost to do this thing. Like, the value, I mean, what they're offering, the money they're offering and what you actually bring to the table, it did not match.
Yeah, that was me last year, because I would always compromise when someone wants me to edit stuff for them and I tell them my price. They'll be like, yeah, if I just do this thing for me, this price, just lower it for me. I'll be like, okay. And then what I do, the effects I do, everything that I add will be way more than what they are paying me. So it wasn't until sometime this year I watched my first edit, the first ever edit I made. I put on YouTube and it's this. It's rubbish. I need to take it out.
Don't watch that.
Don't watch it. It was trash. So I watched my first edit, and then I watched my most recent edits, and I saw how much I had grown in a very short time. That's when it hits me, like, I'm very good though. Like, these people can be paying me way more than they are paying me.
Right.
So that's when I just made, it's when I'm making that decision, first of all, that I'm not doing this thing the old way anymore. I'm doing it like this and I am going to stick to it. That's very important. Saying, I'll do it, but then when that chance comes and you don't do it, you just end up compromising again. That's very bad. You need to stick to your decision. So that's it. Just, I'm not going below this price anymore. And it's also good that you have a price that you know that I'm not going below this price. Yeah. If you're saying, I'm just using as an example now, like, I'm not going to go below 5,000 naira. Like, no matter what, I must not go below 5,000 naira. So anytime someone asks you to do a job for them, so you know that you're going to set 8,000 naira, 10,000 naira. So even if you want to price, you know that this 5,000 naira will not reach that 5,000 naira. If you guess that 5,000 naira, I'm not doing the job anymore. So yeah, it's just about knowing your worth.
Yeah, it'd be like that sometimes, because some people just want to be crazy and just give you some price. I remember there was a time, I mean, I'm not a videographer, but I think I would say I'm a competent producer / director and everything else that comes in. They are bring the light, hallelujah. The Nigerian in us will always come out. So I had this guy, he's a good friend of ours. I think this is where they'd be like, don't bring your friends into your business, but this guy is a good friend of mine, and he's a music artist. You probably know him, you should know him, but we're not going to name drop here, we don't do that, we ain't snitches. But so he wanted me to like record, so that's direct, produce, record a short music video kind of thing to promote some of his upcoming music, and also edit it. And I was like, all right. So I told him I was going to get back to him and everything. And I started like putting costs together. Camera rental is going to be like 25, you know. At the end of the day, everything, and I did not charge too much for like edits and personal inputs, but everything, I mean, since he's my guy, I was looking at between 80 to 100. And he's the kind of guy that can do it. He can do it. He can't do that. But like, because he's my guy, I was like, no, guy now. 25 and go. And I was like, bro. You're my guy, but you said, you know that if we were not guys and like you brought this to like any normal person who's like big, you would not, heck, I would charge you like half a meal and you pay it, or you find somewhere else to go and do it. So I think it's important to like know your worth and understand the kind of value you bring to the job you are given.
If
it doesn't look like you are being compensated well for it, you should know when to like turn it down, because it's not the job that you need to do in this life. Right.
Yeah.
But like, so another point I want us to get into is when we do, after all the agreements, money, exposure, whatever the case may be, and we finally get the job, you know, video edits, filmmaking and everything, it takes time. It takes time from writing, if there hasn't been anything written yet, to shooting, producing, and then post-production, editing, putting effects, looking for the right sound and everything. They all take days. But then our clients are these kind of people. They're always these kind of people that want it now. A job that should take like 10 days, they ask for it in like for 2 days. They ask if you can get into this. How do you deal with those kind of people?
I mean, from discussions, before you even take the job, you should let them know that's okay, this is going to take this amount of time. I have, if you're busy with other stuff, if they will still want you to take that job even though you're busy with other stuff, you need to make them understand that you will wait a bit.
Yeah.
You will wait 10 days instead of, you can't get it in 2 days because I'll still have to get this thing, I'll still have to do this, I'll still have to do that. So 10 days is going to be that is going to take that period, 10 days. So there is no room later on for them to be like, to start hurrying you up, that we need this in 2 days, we need this in. If they do that, there's no way they can do that because they've already agreed that this thing is 10 days. They might want to have discussion with you that later on, that how far can you do this in 5 days or so. If you can, good for you, but me, I don't always change my days. I'm like, it's 10 days.
I feel like even if, because there are some works you'd get and you can actually do them in 3 days if you actually like, put your butt into it. But like, I always like to give them that 10 days kind of, I mean, that's for works that ideally should take 10 days.
Yeah.
But like, when they come to you, I'm like, okay, so based on one or two, we're going to need to like bring it down to like 5 days. Can you do it in 5 days? Even if I can, I will not answer you.
Yeah.
10 days is 10 days.
If you really wanted it in 5 days, you would have had that discussion earlier.
Right. I don't think clients understand the process that goes into the kind of jobs they ask us to do for them. Because if they do, they would not be as, you know, what's the word, as unreasonable as they are most of the times.
Yeah, most of them feel like we immediately get the job, starts. Like the moment we are getting like this, I go to our laptop and then we are starting to edit. But for me, my process is like really, I won't say slow. It's gradual. So I get it from the clients. I read through what they want me to do. Then I meditate on how I want this job to go, the direction I want to take it. So that takes a while. I don't know, maybe 1-2 days before I even start the actual edit. Because if you just collect the job and start editing, you will get lost. Yeah. You get lost somewhere.
I've been there. I had a film once that I got and I didn't even read the script. I just went straight to edit and I was like, whoa, what's happening? I don't know anything. I then I had to like take a break.
Yeah.
I used like 4 days to like actually read the script and like digest it. And I was like, okay, fine, this is what I'm going to do based on what I have in front of me. This just came to my head right now. You're an editor, so I'm very sure you can relate to this. How do you feel whenever you get stuff, footage that, or stuff that just doesn't work in some way, and then it looks like it's obvious that this is something that they wanted you to fix in post?
Well, okay, there's something, I have that issue every single time. I remember the first time when I started editing like full time, where I'm working currently. So my boss is also my mentor, so he gave me this job to do, and I was seeing something. Like, there's no way that this can work. Like, there is no way that, what is this? Then I went to meet him, like, these people, I don't know what they were shooting. Why are they shooting like this? How did they expect me to cut this thing? And he told me that, I was like, I can't make it work. He said, you can always find a way around anything. Anything, yeah. You can always find a way. Even if it means you restructuring the story. You don't have to, sometimes you don't really have to like take permission from people that gave you the job, that okay, please, I want to change the story this way. You can do it like in a very sly way. Just do it, change the story. If you know that the story is going to be good along the line, mm-hmm. then just do it, just change it. Basically, what I'm trying to say is you should just make it work. You can always make anything they give you work.
You have patience. I mean, I know it's making anything
work. I mean, I have patience. This job has taught me patience.
I can't make anything work. I mean, I do try to make it work, but like, there's always that time where the directors are like, why did you do this like this? This is not what I want. I'm like, well, you didn't shoot it this way, so we have to do it like this.
Yeah, you must be ready to defend your edits. You must be very ready to defend.
Yeah, I don't have that kind of. I don't like having that kind of conversation with directors and producers because it's like, there's so much that goes on in my head whenever questions like that come up. Because like, how do I want to tell this director that this thing you did before, the idea was great, but the execution was nonsense. Therefore, I have to do it this way in a very respectable manner, you know?
Sometimes directors have in their head, they don't like represent it well in their shots.
Yeah.
And they feel like, oh, I've done this thing very well. But sometimes it just takes you showing them. You can show them the raw footage now. This is what you shot. Most of them will be like, okay, it's like this. So it's normal. You should just be ready to defend your edits if you know that you did this in the best way possible. That's why you always have to give, you always have to put 100% effort in whatever it is you're editing.
Yeah.
So just put in that 100% and then be ready to defend your edits. And also, I mean, you should also have a client that trusts you very well. That it goes a long way.
That is very, very cool. Well, I don't know if there's anything else that we have to talk about right now when it comes to dealing with clients and their wahala. But do you have anything you want to say to people who are in our shoes, upcoming artists, filmmakers, content creators that feel like they're struggling and want to let them know that they're not alone? What do you have to say to them?
Just be patient. Put in, like, you have to, as an editor, you have to be, as a filmmaker, let me just, because I am an editor, but people listening to this, they are most likely filmmakers. I am strictly post-production. So just be patient. This job requires a lot of patience, a lot of understanding.
Yeah.
And it also requires you to give your best, because if you don't give your best, you lose clients.
Right.
You lose jobs, you lose clients, you lose respect. So just be patient. Make sure you put 100% in your work, and then so that you'll be able to defend it. I mean, if you do something very well, you will know how to defend it. Like,
right.
it will be a breeze if anyone asks you any question.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
You're only as good as your last project. Who said that? I think I heard that somewhere.
I told you that.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, but my mentor did. He told me, you're only as good as your last project.
I'll tip it now. You're only as good as your last project. Yeah. A good artist copies, a great artist steals. I've stolen that quote like that, and it's mine now. You're only as good as your best. I say your best. You're only as good as you. You're only as good as your last project. So give it your best. Gambate. That is the same thing in Japanese.
Yes.
Gambate. Yeah, yes. I think that's all we have for today. Thank you guys so much for listening, taking time out of your life, giving it to me to listen to what I have to say and what we have to say. It was awesome. And Laughter, you can find him on Instagram. He's not a very social person. Okay?
I'm not really, but I mean, if people text me, I text back. I think that matters.
Should I?
And if I customer, why would I text back? I'm not a very social person, but if someone asks me about my work,
right,
we'll rapport. Right?
So you develop a rapport with this guy. He's on Instagram, Laffy_01.
LAFFY_01.
Send him a DM. You can toast him. I think he's still looking for a wife.
I beg you.
Yeah, that's it. And of course, you know where to find me, Kevin T. Solomon, across all social media platforms, KEVINTSOLOMON. And this has been a blast. And we catch you guys in the next episode. So, bye bye.